Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
We sure do.
How's it going today?
Going pretty good.
Good.
Bit tired, but you know what? It always jazzes me up to talk about comics.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Burst of energy.
Yeah. Second week of Spook October.
But this week, it's a part of Scott-tober, Nathan.
Scott. That's what they called it, dude. I was trying to remember on the way. Yeah, we're reading Night of the Ghoul.
When Scott Snyder just decided to publish like a bunch of horror stuff all at once. And he's doing it again.
And
he's like,
let me grab all the good people and take them for about a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing. But obviously we got other time codes in the description of things. So if you want to skip around, you can definitely do so. I don't recommend it.
Go into our segments, our different segments, if you'd like.
Yeah. You can do that.
But we start with the news.
We sure do.
Not a lot of news.
Dude, I don't actually know if I have any.
Not really news, but...
To be frank. Oh, actually, I do. Yep. Never mind.
You know, Saga took a break after the last story arc, and it will return in January.
They love
for issue 71.
They love their hiatuses.
I don't know if I'd call it a hiatus compared to their other hiatuses.
Yeah, that's true. Small hiatus, but still... Another hiatus.
It gives you plenty of time to catch up, Nathan.
Yeah, that's true. I thought about just getting the trade, and I was like, fuck it. I have all the single issues, but I don't know where they are. I just moved. They're all over the place, probably. So I might just get the trade.
You could, yeah. That came out today.
Yeah. This is kind of news, I guess, but it's more of like an interesting observation.
We're hurting right now.
There are literally only four ongoing books at DC that aren't about a Batman or Gotham character. And haven't been canceled already. And that is Superman, Son of Tomorrow, Action Comics, The Flash, and whatever Wonder Woman series is going on right now. So I thought that was an interesting observation.
Action Comics, The Flash?
No, Action Comics is like the second one. The Flash is the third one. And then Wonder Woman, I believe.
I mean, they do a lot of limited series.
That seems like that's where they're investing. But like, I feel like it would make sense to have more ongoing, you know?
That sounds like a Valiant lineup, you know?
It does, yeah.
like, we have four books.
We have...
Please buy them.
Yeah. But imagine Valiant, but if they had 14 Bloodshot books as well.
Yeah. Are there 14 Batman books?
I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me.
If we counted up all the
Batman
miniseries.
Batman the Night.
Batman Killing Time.
Killing Time, yep. There's the Batman. Imposter just wrapped up, right? That's the Jock one.
Yeah, Batman, Reptilian.
That one's already done.
But like
it this
came out
year?
This year. Yeah.
We could probably go for a while with that. No, the Imposter was Sorrentino, right? And then
I don't remember. And then
the Jock one's like it's
one
Batman
Dark
but it's
Night.
Nighttime. Yeah, One Dark Night. That's what it is.
Nathan, I don't normally do
break
this.
The news to me.
I don't normally do this, but there's a leaked Ant-Man trailer, and I watched it.
Okay.
They boosted the volume, and it was a pretty clear shot. Pretty exciting stuff.
Doom?
Huh?
Doom?
What do you mean Doom?
Like Dr. Doom?
No Doom.
Okay.
It's like everything that we've been like promised is in there. But this one looks like... Do you want to hear about it?
Sure, yeah. I don't fuck it.
It looks like pretty like serious, you know? Like it looks like it's going to be like
a scary kind of movie, you know?
Cool. Not like a horror movie, but like you're like... Oh, shit.
Okay.
You know how, like, we were like, why the fuck is Ant-Man fighting Kang the Conqueror?
Yeah.
That's how I felt when I was watching this. I was like, they're so fucked. You know what I mean?
Okay. So. That's cool. Well, I think that if they just did Ant-Man again, it definitely would be diminishing returns. So I like that they're going for something else.
Raising the stakes, not just like another Ant-Man like, fighting something.
Yeah, just another Paul Rudd running about. Making some jokes, being a little bit smaller than he normally is. That's a good joke. But, I'm excited to see it then, when it's, like, actually published and you don't see it.
Yeah.
Illegally, Daniel. That's what you did.
I broke the law, is that what I did?
Yep. Daniel, Geoff Johns never disappoints with this weird, just unequivocal love for Stargirl, because he's starting a new miniseries called Stargirl, The Lost Children.
Hmm.
With... art by Todd Nauk or Nauk, something like that. But yeah, he's going back to Stargirl.
That sounds like a title that'd be in like the DC's Red Robin or Brown Robin.
Yeah, Round Robin. Yeah, it does. Oh my God. It looks like that too, honestly. This looks like the promo art for like a Round Robin series.
Oh, wow. It's basically just fucking JSA with starring Stargirl.
Yeah, it looks like if the JSA was a bunch of kids. I don't know. So we'll see what happens there. But Geoff Johns is doing another series. That's interesting.
I don't know if this is news, but I just like heard it this week. And I guess the what we thought was going to be the Armor Wars series from Disney Plus is now a movie.
Yeah.
Which seems like a good move.
Probably a good idea.
Because I'm a little over shows at the moment. I feel like there's so many. And we're getting way more than movies.
Yeah.
Maybe like one in between each movie would work really well.
I definitely feel like we would benefit from some breathing room.
Yeah.
A bit, you know? Because it's been like pretty constant since like
the first one.
It's like the first one, it feels
WandaVision,
like.
WandaVision, Like we're...
But like just before She-Hulk, Moon Knight had basically just finished, I feel like.
And fucking Miss Marvel.
Oh shit, Miss Marvel was in between those. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
it was like, yeah, okay. So a little bit of breathing room would be great.
It's just nice to have a two-hour thing that you watch and that's it.
I just want
to
miss Marvel, you know?
Yeah. I haven't missed her yet.
Yeah. Daniel, Keanu Reeves says that he's considering directing the movie adaptation of his comic Berserker.
Does he have a directing experience?
I don't think so.
What is the benefit of that is like, he probably can figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd rather it stay more true to what the comic is, which is just like absolute madness. And I feel like if someone else was on it, they could really like...
He has directed The Man of Tai Chi.
Okay.
Which I'm not familiar with, but he also stars in that movie, so.
Okay. Because, like, I feel like if we got some generic director, they can, like, really, I don't know, Hollywood it.
Yeah.
To where it can be, like, kind of boring and not as exciting as, like, the book actually is.
Yeah, so if he does it, then he has that control to make it at least somewhat interesting.
Yeah. So.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. Not news, Nathan, but I was just kind of...
Not for this section, then.
I was just browsing...
Uh-huh.
And I was looking up when the Jason book Upside Dawn comes out.
Yeah.
I happened to look into, you know, the synopsis. And Nathan, how long are Jason books normally?
About 50 pages.
Guess how much this one is?
100.
256 pages.
Whoa, he's been working for a while.
Yeah.
He's been like doodling for a while, hasn't he?
That's why it's taking so long, because this is like 5 books in one.
Holy shit.
I guess it's actually like an anthology, but... I'm not completely sure.
Huh.
So it's a $30 book. So it's definitely going to be like worth it with the content you're getting.
Okay.
But nice. Yeah, that's all news I had.
Apparently the Spawn movie, I just found this out because I remembered that Todd McFarlane was like, we're going to have big Spawn news.
Yeah. And then he's like, delayed Spawn news tomorrow.
Yeah. And I'm like, why is that? And then he like wrote it. He like wrote it in like a screenshot of like just a black screen. Did you see that?
I think so.
It just looked like this.
He's not sure what people do.
Like he clearly just like screenshotted and was like, you know what? Red and yellow text would be sick here. But that news, I guess, is that the Spawn movie finds new writers with the writer behind the Joker and Captain America 4 movies.
And Falcon the Winter Soldier. The guy who wrote the Captain America 4, he also wrote...
Oh, Falcon and Winter Soldier. Okay, cool. So, yeah, Scott Silver and Malcolm Spellman are those two people writing it, I guess.
Very cool.
It's a Blumhouse production. Did you know that?
Yeah, Blumhouse is on it.
That's Jason pretty cool. Blum. We'll see how that goes, because I think Todd is also directing it.
Surely it'll be an improvement.
Surely it'll at least entertain.
Yeah, we'll be entertained.
I will. I'll be like, what? Like, oh, what is this? God. What is this going to be? I hope the cape is the same.
as the
movies.
But is that all the news, Nathan?
That's pretty much it.
Nathan, what did we read this week?
As the second week of Oh My God, We're So Scared month, we read the Scott Tober book Night of the Ghoul by Scott Snyder.
Which the number one in print came out today. I don't know if you saw.
I didn't go to the store today.
So you did not saw.
I did not saw. But yeah, it is Night of the Ghoul by Scottard Snyder.
Scott you.
Scott you, yeah. Francesco Francavilla, lettered by, and he does like the art and the colors. He's fucking amazing, and he's probably the best thing that's ever happened to this world. And then the letters are by End World Design. This is part of the Comixology Originals that he announced like a year ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah, he announced it in like September, and they started coming out in October.
Yeah, and he got like a bunch of different creators or like artists on. That's where he did like Clear. He also did a bunch of other ones.
We All Have Demons.
Oh yeah, We Have Demons with Greg Capullo.
We Have Demons. There's like another one.
There's the one with Dan Panosian that's coming out.
Oh.
Panosian. There's Dastardly and Dudley or whatever. And then there's one where there's kids under a desk. But this is the horror one.
The Kids in the Desk one isn't even out.
Oh, it's not? Okay. Well, that one's coming. Why did they announce
it? Barnstormers is one that's coming out this year.
Barnstormers, yeah.
Dudley Datson and the Forever Machine.
Okay, yep.
And some other stuff.
Yeah, he announced like a bunch, but... So this is the scary one that he did, because he's a horror writer. We read a couple of his things on this podcast, like Witches.
Yeah.
That's it, I'm pretty sure.
He has like
other
stuff.
Any other Scott Snyder stuff?
Have we?
Yeah, on the pod.
No, because we haven't done any of his Batman. We haven't done like American Vampire. I feel like we would eventually get to like Undiscovered Country.
Or there's the one at night. What's that one?
The one at night?
He does it with like Jason Fabik or something.
Noctera,
that's what it is.
Okay.
And that one's like...
It's Tony Daniel.
Tony Daniel, that's what they're all the same. Anyway, what did you think of Night of the Ghoul?
Nathan, big fan, loved it. I liked the, you know, I'll get into the things that I didn't like about it, but Francesco Francavilla
carries.
I'm in love. Absolutely carries. I like the idea. I like it goes like back and forth between like the modern or the current time and then what's actually in this movie that they talk about, which I thought was really fun.
Yeah, I think when it comes to connecting like an A and like a B plot, this does it in a really interesting way.
Yeah, because it kind of progresses in kind of the same way.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Design-wise, it's incredible. I think that Francesco does a great job with coloring, even though he kind of like, not like limits himself to like a certain palette, but he sticks with like a certain palette for... color palette for like each scene, and I just love his use of like really deep red in this book,
almost like a blood orange.
Yeah, it's really cool. He's always done just fucking incredible stuff, so I like seeing him on a book, because I was blown away when we read fucking Afterlife with Archie, which is what the one that he did as well.
He did do that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, this is fucking, because that's way like better how, than it should be.
That's how I like.
That's
I think, him basically.
I think I was following him before, because he also did part of Hawkeye, Fraction Hawkeye as well.
I feel like he does like so much just like missions and stuff that he posts. So that's like mostly what I see.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you get so used to that, it's so fun seeing them do interiors. Mm-hmm.
He did a Star Wars book at some point, I found out.
That sounds dope.
Yeah, it was like a Star Wars Adventures book. I think it was like geared towards kids, but it still looked really good. But anyway, I thought...
He's got his upcoming SpongeBob SquarePants mystery novel that will be coming out.
But he just did the... Oh, that's right. Yeah. He's doing like... Because it's like a picture book, right? Like every couple pages, there's like a picture. Is that what it is?
I don't know. I thought it was kind of like a comic, but I could be wrong.
Well, I'm interested in that. Scott Snyder's kind of hit or miss for me sometimes.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially with his big two stuff. But I think for the most part, all of his independent stuff I've pretty much enjoyed, although I fall off of them pretty quick.
Sure.
Like Noctera, I think I read the first two or three and then I just kind of fell off of it. Same with like Undiscovered Country, but I thought this one was definitely a hit.
Yeah,
not a miss. So
because sometimes I think he's like a novelist, you know, he likes like prose and stuff like that, so I feel like has he
written any novels?
I don't know, but that's what he was trying to do at first when he was trying to be a writer.
Gotcha.
And so when it's kind of clear and simple and to the point, like I think he does really well with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked his Batman stuff. He seemed to kind of pull back on the details and stuff like that when it comes to writing. So I like him in this.
I haven't liked any of his big two stuff after New 52. So like there's the Justice League thing, the Dark Knight's Metal, like wasn't my favorite. Actually, there was some good stuff in there. I like the... Evil Batman, but they're the Justice League too.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff was kind of fun. I have a pop of like the Green Lantern Batman evil guy.
Naturally.
That's a good one. But yeah, anyway, let's get into this. So it's like about like this dad and his son, and they're going to, what is this building? Is it a hospital?
An old people's home or whatever?
Like a hospice? Is that what it is?
Probably.
It's not very clear, but they go to like this hospice in the like the middle of nowhere to meet this famous horror filmmaker that is at the hospice under like a fake name. And Forrest is like the dad, and he's like, I know you. You're T.F. Merritt. You're like the famous like horror movie director guy. And I came here because I want to talk about your sick film, Night of the Ghoul. And I'm like, oh, that's the comic book name. So what does that mean? And
so he goes to his place and he just pretends to be some like insurance guy.
Yeah.
And like Saturday night, you know, I'm like, that's such a bullshit excuse. And why would they entertain this at all?
Yeah. They're like, all right, I guess go talk to him for a couple minutes. Yeah.
Anyway.
And so this director is pretty fucked up. He's like all burned. He doesn't have a nose. He's got nose holes, but no nose.
Yeah.
So you're like, that's pretty scary, but it looks sick. I think Francesco does a really good job with like all of his wrinkles and shit, especially when he colors like all the wrinkles and all like the highlights and stuff.
But yeah.
He like always looks pretty freaky. And he's got like these red eyes. He's just so good in this book with coloring. So then it like, they're talking about like this Night of the Ghoul book and he's like,
movie.
Sorry, the Night of the Ghoul movie, and he's like, how much of this have you seen, and stuff like that. And then it jumps to, like, the B-plot, which is the actual movie that they're talking about this whole time. And it starts with, like, T.F. Merritt, like, at the beginning. He's like, I'm so happy to show you guys Night of the Ghoul, and it, like, starts the movie. And it just shows, like, a group of, like, soldiers and, like, this wartime, and they're going into a mysterious house called Akola. Have you heard that word before, Akola?
No, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, so they go into like this spooky house, but then like as we're sort of watching it, but reading the movie, the film starts to like fizzle out and like disintegrate. And that's because the film or like the whole studio caught on fire while this movie is being made. And so this guy's trying to like digitally like recreate it and like piece it together and stuff like that. And that's kind of his job. That's like his actual job, I guess.
Yeah.
And I like that. When we see the movie aspects of it, like it's definitely colored differently. Like it looks like an old film, but
like,
I
like black and white.
Yeah, like black and white. Well, it's like browns that he's using here. I don't know, but I like that it looks like film actually, and it's cool to see it like fizzle out and that kind of like transitions us into like the present. I thought that was a interesting.
It's almost like
design aspect.
You can't wait to go back to the other story.
Yeah.
You know? Cause like much. Normally it just switches back with like a page turn.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of nice.
Like, here you go. So the ghoul in this movie is a monster that possesses people and he also creates plagues and stuff.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
And
he makes people believe in other monsters. So every monster that people know now is because of the ghoul? Is that what I understood?
Yeah, basically. Because of how bad this ghoul is, it made it people like, with all the shit that it did, it made people like kind of
believe
make
in
up other stuff for what was happening.
Yeah.
But it was all the ghoul,
okay.
Essentially.
So this is like the monster of all monsters. This is how they try and pitch it in this book. Like, this is the greatest monster of all time. It's going to change everything kind of deal. And so Merritt asks if anybody else has seen it. And the only other person that's seen part of it is his son, Orson. And he doesn't really want to be there. I don't know why like an insurance person would bring their son anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't want to be there. And he's getting creeped out like in the lobby of this place. And so then Merritt says that the ghoul is real and it's being fed and kept in this building. But so it's made to seem like he's pretty senile. I love the scene where Orson is just like trying to call a cab and like there's all these people like in the doorway that open it at the same time and
close
it.
There's so many panels like that and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is really cool because he's so good at making it spooky.
Yeah.
On the movie side, one of the soldiers, Kurt, gets possessed by the ghoul and we see him like go home as Kurt. And so nobody really like notices anything, but his army buddy and even his own family noticed that Kurt is like acting weird. And so that's like the ghoul inside this guy.
Mm.
And I just like the acting in this scene when he gets home because it's like very clear that he's acting weird, like around his own son and shit. And his like army buddy is like, oh man, I can't wait to meet your family you've been talking about. And he's like, huh? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he's saying, the director is basically saying that he's in that place because he's like a prisoner, because the movie was telling the truth about the ghoul.
Yeah.
Which is like basically these people's like God. Mm-hmm. And these people are part of a group called like the Order of the Fly. Mm-hmm. And so he's like held hostage here.
Yep.
And the ghoul, like once he gets like a host, I guess he survives off of eating the dead.
Like, yeah, dead matter, whatever they like describe it as.
Yeah, I guess they were on like a boat bringing back a lot of bodies from the war and stuff. And like most of them were like eaten because I guess he got in there. And then the ghoul has to like basically...
That's a circle of life, you know? Like animals die in the forest, they get decomposed. Yeah. And then like...
I don't know, circle of life. do decomposed animals get eaten? Or do they...
Yeah, they get eaten
when they're fresh, you know?
Yeah, but by like maggots and stuff. But then there's like birds or whatever that'll eat those and then they get preyed on and it's like a whole circle.
Yeah.
So yeah, Merritt says that he's been trapped at this facility. Orson tries to leave and he walks around like trying to get someone to call him a cab. And so he's kind of walking around this facility where he stumbles upon a big room in the basement full of dead children. And that's a bit weird. But I like this scene where he's like walking down into the basement and he's using like his actual like phone screen for light. Because I do that shit all the time.
If I was in a place I've never been, I would not go into the basement.
Yeah, that's true.
It was pitch black.
Also, what I don't understand is that it seems like his phone is on low battery, but he's still blasting full brightness. So maybe that wasn't a smart idea from Orson's side.
Maybe low battery mode or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I love this page. It's page 41. It's just like, it almost looks like a poster. You know?
Dude, it's so good.
I'm like, this is sick.
When he's saying like, oh, he's like being...
They captured me.
He's very like, he's being very serious. And they're really good at making this guy just seem insane. Because obviously if you go to see someone at basically a hospice and they're like, they're keeping me here, I'm trapped, they're not telling you the truth or whatever, you're just going to assume that they're insane. Mm-hmm. And I like this page on like page 46 when he sees like the dead children and then like through the window, it's just like all this like deep red to like emphasize the shock.
Yeah.
Just such a sick design on this book. But Merritt says that the ghoul is going to be released tonight and he's inside the main like doctor of the facility. His name is Skeen. And Forrest like kind of still sees Merritt as like being senile and crazy. And then Skeen explains that the bodies in the basement are unclaimed bodies that people come to like identify, and that he like this facility like takes pride in like giving you know, these people like a memory when people come to like claim them or whatever.
Yeah.
Pretty good story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
I'm like,
cover up.
I'm like, I believe that. Yeah.
He might be crazy.
And I like how they did it in a way to be like, you're the fucked up one actually for questioning us on this.
Yeah.
I think they did like a really good excuse for that. But then on the movie side, Kurt's kid and like Kurt's war friend go to a doctor to see why he's acting weird. And the doctors are like, I don't know, it's like PTSD or some shit. Just leave him alone. And then the kid finds an X-ray with a very clear ghoul inside of his dad. And I don't know why that didn't like concern any doctors.
Because he's in on it. He's part of the Order of the Fly. Nathan.
Is that what it's like supposed to be?
Probably.
That's probably, you could probably, I guess, assume that. But if I was... You know, a doctor, I'd be like, this isn't, I didn't learn this.
I'd be
this.
Like, what the fuck?
Especially if someone comes to you and like, he's acting a little weird. I'd be like, no idea. Like, don't know what to tell you.
Looks like he ate something weird.
Yeah.
So the dude, what was his name?
Skeen?
No, the...
Merritt.
Merritt. So Merritt, he's got...
The director.
Like the end of the movie, like hidden somewhere.
Yeah.
Forrest has like... what he found in like the studio or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But he needs the rest of the pieces.
Yeah. To get to it.
In part three, in the movie that Merritt made, the kid and like the war dude go to a university professor who's named Holloway. And she studied the ghoul to like learn more like about him. And Holloway is actually a survivor of the ghoul. But she had like her nervous system eaten by like a bunch of bugs that were inside of her. And so she's paralyzed and like is in a wheelchair.
Yeah. She's found evidence of like the ghoul, like all throughout history, like pretty much as long as mankind's been around.
Mm-hmm. And she explains that there's like the Order of the Flies who worships the ghoul. And then there's the League of the Scarab who like fight against the ghoul, essentially. So kind of there's like these two cults, I guess, that go against each other. And like this whole part's like a big info dump. But
Legion of the Scarab.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I think I was thinking about just leagues. But yeah, I like the names.
Oh, yeah.
Just super flies cool. And scarabs. Scarab's like a beetle, right?
Yeah. It always makes me think of like the mummy. You know how like those things are always crawling on the ground and they eat people?
Mm-hmm.
I think those are scarabs.
What was the thing where there's a scarab and it was like a key? Was that the mummy?
I think that was also the mummy.
Okay.
Maybe the mummy too.
I think of a scarab in Halo 3. It's like that big thing that has like four legs and you have to get inside of it and punch like the energy core in the middle.
Is it like a ship?
No, it like walks around on the ground.
Do you ride it? Is it like an animal?
No, it's like a huge thing, and there's like typically a bunch of like Covenant on there.
Mm.
Remember that?
Yep.
You had to like take out one of his legs, and then he like freaks
out. That
shit
was dope.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I got a Charlie horse. And then he like, he like sits down for a little bit. So yeah, Forrest and the dad are like leaving because they're like super embarrassed and they're like, I don't know, fighting and stuff.
And they told them to leave.
Yeah, told them to leave. And so they're like fighting in the car about, and Orson's like, you haven't, you know, been in my life at all, really. And like, my mom has Parkinson's.
You didn't even know.
And he's like, what? She does. And so Forrest is like, actually, I'm still going to do the thing that is driving my family away to make you proud, finally. And then he like leaves and abandons his son in the car to just run back to the facility.
In the middle of
and
nowhere.
And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you clearly just had a heart to heart with your son. You found out your wife is dying and you're like, I'm going to go back.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep doing the thing that is fucking up this family.
Because this comic has like three more issues, so yeah. I'm going to go back.
we can't be finished yet, so I have Francesco for three more issues. But it's so funny how he just completely misses the point there.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? I want you to be proud of me, so I'm going to keep finishing this movie. And so he runs in, and then he tries to like save Merritt, but Skeen shows up, so Forrest hides. And the Skeen guy like starts beating up Merritt while Forrest is hiding like in the closet or whatever. And then Skeen like pukes bugs into Merritt. And so you're like, oh,
maggots,
my God.
I think. Are those maggots?
I think that's probably maggots. Yeah, that's a good horror thing.
Pretty gross. And they, when they beat the shit out of him, they break like all of his limbs, basically.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, there's like big onomatopoeia like lettering, which I love. It makes it seem like a Batman comic, like a Batman 60s comic when it's just like snap, crack. And then also in the movie, they start setting up a trap to capture like the daddy ghoul.
Yeah,
they're like, where's a bunch of dead stuff? And they're like, oh, in the museum. And so they go there.
And they steal like mummies and put some sort of medicine that's going to hurt it.
Yeah, she like knows how to make like a medicine that, or like a serum or whatever that will like kill it. And I'm like, that's pretty convenient. But I guess you've spent your whole life learning this stuff.
Yeah, and they're basically gonna like draw it out and then inject it with whatever it is.
Yeah, they're gonna use bait, which is mummies that are thousands of years old, and then like just hit them with a syringe.
And they also got like all the people in the Eagle Company to kind of come back to help with this. So all the people that are in the war.
Oh yeah, yeah, I do remember that.
So like, yeah. We gotta help Kurt. You know,
Kurt's being weird, help me kill him.
Yeah.
So then in part four, Merritt wants Forrest to actually like release the full film, which is actually the truth about the ghoul, is what Forrest is learning. And so he's like, the rest of the film is in Skeen's office safe.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just burn it? You know?
Burn the end of the movie?
Yeah, if you don't want this movie getting out.
No, he does want the movie to get out.
Skeen does?
Oh, no. Okay.
He's like, all right, I'm just going to keep this here instead of like destroy it. Seems a little bit weird. But there's a part where Merritt's like, the greatest thing a father can do is face down a monster so a son doesn't have to. And in my head, I'm like, I think the greatest thing you could do in this situation is get out of there.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was kind of a funny line. Because it's basically just Merritt trying to convince him to like help him out. But I'm like, no, just like leave. You don't have to be part of this.
So Orson like calls his dad from like the car. And his dad's like, call the fucking police.
Yeah.
And he runs out of the car and falls into a grave.
Immediately.
I'm like, why the fuck did you...
And what's even crazier is I think he still has his phone when he falls into the grave.
He's FaceTiming his mom.
He's FaceTiming his mom. And even the mom's like, don't do anything stupid. And he just goes and does something stupid. He's like, I'm going to leave this car, not call the police. I'm just going to do the opposite.
And then he sees a tunnel in the grave.
And he's like,
he sees a light at the end. And it doesn't even look big enough for him to crawl into. But he's like, yeah, let me just go in here.
He could have just been stuck there and died.
Yeah.
Just like his ability to do everything completely wrong in this scenario is astonishing to me. But yeah, when he goes into like that crawl space, he goes into like this like system of like caves and stuff. And it's colored very nicely. It's like
a nice magenta.
Yeah, nice like magenta color. And you're like, ooh, what is this stuff? And he sees a couple monsters. One of them has about 10 boobs.
Yeah.
Which I thought...
Pretty hot.
Was pretty good. Yeah, the more the merrier. That's what I say. How many are there, actually? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8... 9.
9, close.
That's crazy.
And then there's a dude with a real long tongue.
Yeah, he's got a venom tongue.
So he can lick all those titties.
And he's real lanky. Yeah, so he can lick all of them, yeah. In the movie, the professor makes that serum that should kill the ghoul. And then they lure the ghoul in, and it starts to, like, crawl out of Kurt, which is cool. It, like, crawls out through his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have to do that to eat the dead things?
I think so.
So what happens to the body? Does it just, like, fall flat there?
Are they dead? Looks like he bit into, like, a limb, and, like, while he was still in, like, human form.
Okay. So I think it's just, like, how babies work, where you eat something, and then it, like, goes into the baby's mouth.
Yeah.
That's how it works, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So,
and the mom's always full because the baby's in there.
Yeah, exactly. Until she poops him out.
Actually, how the fuck does that work? If the baby's like, never mind.
So that's a sick panel though. When the ghoul's like crawling out of Kurt, it's just,
I know there's no like real detail to the ghoul and it's kind of generic, I guess, for like a creepy thing. But I love it. It's just like
it's so good.
It's just a thing that's all black with like long fingers and shit.
Yeah. And I like how the film, like in the movie parts, when we're transitioning back to like the main story, the film's getting like more and more burnt, it seems like. So you know that you're getting like to the part where we're caught up with everything that Forrest has seen in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I just appreciate that aspect a lot. So Forrest gets the movie that's in the safe, but then he hears his son.
He also gets a file.
He does get a file as well. And so he hears his son in trouble. And so he's like, I'm gonna go help my son, I guess. And he fights through a bunch of nurses and stuff that are attacking him with knives. And then he finds out that there are toxins in the air where Orson is. And it's meant to make you like part of the Order of the Flies, I guess.
Something like that.
I don't know how that works necessarily, but so, like, the whole hospital is supposed to be, like, part of, like, that one cult group.
I guess. Ghoul,
right? Okay. That's what I figured. So, then in part five.
Well, also, like, the receptionist, like, helps.
Oh, yeah. Forrest. Yeah, she's nice and she helps because she's like, I don't know what the fuck is happening, but yeah, it doesn't seem right.
She's like, I started in, like, September.
So, like, how does that work? How do they hire someone and get them to become a part of the cult?
The gases, probably.
But are they just like maybe forcing people into the sewer where those gases are? Or
maybe
like
when it's something them? So like just has low privileges, like a receptionist or something. Like they don't fair. Actually need.
They're not like super involved. They just need someone to like be at the front.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I could see that. Maybe they're running out of cult members. You know, this cult's been going on for like years.
You know, it's
like,
hard to find good people.
Yeah, it is.
You can't just post it on a job board.
Yeah. And even if you do, like people lie on their resumes all the time.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to know who's qualified? I lied my way through where I am now. So
I lie on everything.
Fake it till you make it. So in part five, Forrest goes into like little basement thing and he sees like a whole meeting with the Order of the Flies.
And bunch of old people.
They're
like in suits and stuff.
Is he supposed to be like tripping out? Because there's, or is this like actually happening? I don't like.
I think it's actually happening. So, I know you read on your phone, but this is like a super sick, like double page spread, like from here to here.
Did you not read it on your phone?
No, I read it on my computer.
Ooh.
Which is really the way to go.
Yeah, that seems like it'd be sick. But yeah, he like sees a bunch of monsters and stuff in there. and you see Skeen, and he's wearing like this crown, and he's got a big belly. And I don't know what that's about.
I had some Chipotle.
He double wrapped his tortilla.
Mm-hmm.
But this, yeah, that double page spread is like incredible.
Because it's like the purples with the reds. It just is. It's really fun.
You wouldn't think that they would like work well together, but it's. I love how he even like does it with Forrest and like the purples like part of like his sunglasses or his glasses as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's super sweet. And they have like this language that they speak to each other, and it's kind of interesting because it's a very vertical language, it seems.
Yeah.
So I love a new language. But yeah, so he goes in here. Orson's trapped in like this bug cage, which is kind of gross. Apparently there's like teeth that were like, you know, keeping him in as well. There's like some pretty gross like descriptors, but there's teeth inside of Orson. And so they just like book it out of there, and they're almost shot by one of the security guards that were there until the mom comes in and she crashes into the security guy.
Yeah, it just hits him.
I thought they were really far away. It seems like not a lot of time has passed since FaceTiming mom to her crashing into the security guy, but
like maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they are 20 minutes away. Who knows?
And apparently it's just again like a place that's like hard to find.
Yeah.
Like I guess he called a cab earlier and the cab couldn't find it and shit like that.
And so mom and Orson leave in one car, and then Forrest takes Merritt and the nurse lady or the receptionist lady to go to the hospital. But then Merritt's like, nah, we should go see that movie I made.
Yeah.
Because the nurse dies, so we don't have to worry about her anymore.
Yeah, and I'm dying, so this is what I want to do.
Yeah, I want to go see this movie that I made. And so Forrest is like, okay. But in the B plot, in the movie, they're like fighting the ghoul. But like the film's like gradually like getting more and more burned and like disintegrated. But they fight the ghoul, and the Order of the Flies shows up out of nowhere in like this museum. And then the studio fire happens where Merritt somehow films himself saving the people from the studio fire, but he traps himself in the studio. I don't know what the scenario was.
So it's like they're filming the last scene.
They're filming the last
scene.
They're
beating the ghoul.
They're like, oh shit, there's a fire over
there.
And
no one said cut. And so like, yeah, they just pan over to the fire.
Yeah. And then it like shows Merritt not all burnt up and stuff, like saving the people. He's like going down with the ship or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like saving the people, but he gets all burnt up. And so that's how like this all gets connected, I guess. And Forrest and Merritt like start watching the movie in like this nice studio that Forrest works at.
Yeah, I guess the studio is like where the fire happened.
Yeah.
And they just like rebuilt it,
which is cool. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. So like the whole thing is like the movie that he's just been obsessing over is like a good horror movie, and then all of a sudden like turns into like reality, I guess, when that fire starts. But we see how Merritt gets his fucked up face. And so in the last part, while the mom and Orson go to the police station, Orson's like, let me check out this weird file. And then he reads it, he freaks out, and then he steals his mom's car, and then he tries calling his dad. But his dad's like watching a movie with this film, famous film director.
Yeah, you can't answer your phone. It's
rude. Yeah, that's rude. So, also, I love this panel where they're like backlit by the actual movie, because Merritt looks like a fucking goof.
I like this panel right here. Same thing, which said like Merritt's eyes.
He's looks like Dr. Destiny in the Sandman comic.
Yeah, or fucking like Red Skull.
Oh, yeah,
know? Like Red Skull. No eyelids, you know?
He's just completely freaking out. Basically, the movie shows Merritt being possessed by the ghoul, which like, is when Forrest realizes that he's sitting next to Merritt, who's actually has the ghoul inside of him this whole time.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm confused. Who is Skeen? What's his deal?
Yeah.
Why was he throwing up maggots into his mouth?
I didn't think about that until we like went back over it.
Yeah.
Because then it makes it seem, it tells us that
there's like a second ghoul maybe?
No, I don't think so. Like the people that are there, they're part of the Legion of the Scarab.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to make Merritt like really weak, not feeding him that much.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the ghoul comes out of like a host, that's when it's at its weakest.
Yeah.
So I think it'll come out when the host dies. So when this guy's super close to death, that's their best shot. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I wonder if there's like, is this still going on? Are they doing more of these?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Like, this is it.
Because I feel like if this just got like crazy popular or whatever, they would just make Skeen like, oh, he's a ghoul, but this ghoul has like the scarabs.
Like, why's he got the belly?
Why's he got the belly and he's throwing up baguettes? I don't understand.
I don't know.
Maybe it was all part of his Chipotle.
I don't know. Maybe it's just...
But what I do
things
like...
Things that they've been trying to do to help weaken it or something.
But what I do like about this reveal is that from Forrest's perspective, they're like watching this movie that he's been working on like basically his whole life or whatever. And then it turns into like reality and how Forrest got his face all fucked up. But then he finds out that when his face was all fucked up, the ghoul went into him. Like, I thought it was just interesting that that was like the reveal. And like Merritt definitely knew that that was like in this film. And so he's like, this will be a fucked up way to like reveal it to him.
Yeah.
So very,
because like going to the doctor isn't like something that he should do because there's a ghoul in him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And as long as he's going to the theater, then he's away from the scarab.
That's true. He did isolate Forrest pretty well.
Right.
So Merritt's the ghoul, and then the good guys who we thought were the bad guys, but now they're the good guys because they're the scarab group, and they show up and they're like, we need to fight this ghoul.
We just start shooting him.
And they start shooting him. The ghoul comes out of Merritt and he's all spooky and stuff, and he just like disintegrates the scarab people.
Yeah. He's just like,
I think that
and they like incinerated.
I don't know what that move is, but apparently he only does it once because he doesn't do it to Forrest.
Yeah.
And
that's like, they just like plague him with disease and they just like dwindle away.
Yeah. They just slowly, or they die pretty quick. And then Forrest is like, holy shit, my son's here now. And so the scarab people brought that serum that's supposed to kill the ghoul. When they died, it fell on the ground. Forrest picked it up. He stabs the ghoul with it. Everything's all good. He passes out for a second.
And another fire, Nathan, because the film thing got knocked over and there's another fire.
Oh, yeah. Forrest like pushes over would it catch fire that easy?
I don't know. And he pushes Orson out of the theater and he locks himself in.
Just
so
like
that,
Merritt did.
So that can burn the inside of that and he'll be in it. And then he injects the guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or the ghoul.
And he's like, I did it. And Orson's like, you did a good job. And then he's in the ambulance and the ghoul's inside of him.
Yeah, and the
and then that's literally
it. The paramedics are part of the Order of the Fly because they have the fly tattoos.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Simp or noob.
Simp.
They even have like little. They have little flies on their shirts?
I'm not looking at their logos.
I don't know.
Who am I to judge someone's tattoo?
I saw the tattoo and I'm like, oh, that's a pretty distinctive tattoo.
Why would you put it on your wrist?
Yeah.
And so then the epilogue is someone picking up the film and it's got some scarabs on it. So I don't know. I don't know. They clearly left it very open. I assume it'll come back. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. It's been a year and he's on a whole nother thing.
Yeah,
and Francisco Francavilla is busy drawing SpongeBob right now.
Yeah. But she has his priorities straight.
Yeah.
So at least there's that.
What would you do?
Yeah, exactly. But I do like just seeing the ghoul and how like big and lanky he is. He does seem like pretty spooky. But I feel like this wrapped up very fast. Because in like...
The sixth issue, like, it's surprising that there were six issues and the last one still felt kind of rushed.
It felt so rushed.
And like...
In a matter of like 10 pages, Merritt dies because the ghoul comes out. The scared people come. The ghoul kills all the people. You know, Forrest saves his son and then he kills the ghoul. And then, the ghoul's not dead. Like,
yeah.
That all happened in like just a couple pages. But it was still a pretty cool finale, I would say.
Yeah. So there's a couple details that weren't that important, but I thought were fun. So like the Order of the Fly is back in history, like basically stopped the Legion of the Scarab like altogether. But the Eagle Company that was with Kurt in the war, they like restarted it.
They restarted that, the Legion of Scarab?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so I thought that was fun. And Skeen is like the grandson of Johnny, which is like the dude that was in the film
in
most
the movie.
Of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I did catch that as well. But for a second there, I thought that Merritt was the son of Johnny. And so I'm like, is this like a... Or the son of... Yeah, Johnny. Johnny's Kurt's son, right?
Johnny is Kurt.
No, no, Alex
Johnny
is his name.
Alex is, and Johnny is like
Alex
was on the team with Kurt.
Oh, Johnny. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I don't know what Merritt's first name is, but he's like the son of Kurt.
TF.
Oh, yeah. So I don't know.
Think it's supposed to be like R.L. Stein.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Pretty Did fun. You think that once like I didn't expect like the twist at all, but like as soon as like the son was like reading the file, he's like, "Oh no!" I'm like, "Oh." So he's the ghoul.
Yeah.
It, and then
honestly, you probably could have guessed it like from the get go.
I don't normally do that, but
yeah, I don't, I wasn't going into this thinking that there was going to be like a mystery.
Yeah.
But this was basically like Among Us, you know,
I never played it.
Okay. Well, there's like,
I thought it was like people kill people and you find out who killed the people.
Yeah. But like the imposter, the one that's killing people is like a monster kind of deal.
Oh, okay.
So you have to like figure out who that is.
And then like at the end when he's like wheeled away in the paramedics, I'm like, oh, it's in him.
Yeah.
You know,
so it doesn't feel like it wraps up very nice. You don't have a whole lot of room to feel like, oh, this is wrapping up nice.
But that, yeah, but that, there is that. But I also just thought like when it was ending, I'm like, watch it not be dead. You know, mm-hmm. like that part was like a little predictable. But
like there's literally one page.
I'm glad that it did happen, though, because if they just killed it, I'm like, that's kind of boring.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, how do you end something like this, you know?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like the monster of all monsters or whatever.
Like, it's like a Comixology original. Like, I don't know if necessarily like the cuts for the issues were that important. Like, mm-hmm. you could have maybe gave like a page or two to each one.
Yeah.
Or at least like an extra five or something in the last one just to let it all kind of breathe.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if there was some
scheduling
thing, but
I'm sure that Comixology pays for Francesco to have a certain amount of pages. And they're like, we'll give you 26 or whatever for the last issue, and you just figure it out. I'm sure Francesco was like, we need this to be 30. You know, he would just have to do that out of his own pocket, which he's a professional. He's not going to do that. You
yeah.
know, so.
Back matters.
Anyway, there's no back matter, which sucks.
Yeah.
But I Ooh. Guess kind of makes sense because it's a Comixology original.
So it's still gotta be made, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I want some designs. I just want Francesco
Pencils.
Fucking back matter.
Mm.
Francivia back matter, but there's none
some,
of that.
Some like character designs or like the monster designs.
Yeah.
The coloring process. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
It'll show all the colors that he used. It's like three.
Yeah. He's like, here's my whole palette.
Yeah. He's purple, red, and
it's just
black.
A 2x2 square.
Yeah.
So yeah. So let's get into the poll list. Colon, shove it in your box.
I was supposed to say that.
Oh, yeah, wait.
Shove it in your box.
What do you rate this movie, Daniel?
What I rate this
or not,
movie?
This, I'm so tired, dude. What do you rate this comic book?
Gotta have it, Nathan. I loved it. Big fan.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I there was nothing I disliked about it, really. I probably would have like just added a couple pages to it, but you know, it flowed really well. Art is A1. Writing is like some of the best from Scott, I feel like, and I just love, this is like really hit all the marks with me for like a horror book. There's a twist, mystery in it.
Yeah, mystery, twist, that's true. That's
some
true.
Creepy imagery. It was just like, this is like the book that we should read in like Spooktober, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think one of my favorite parts about this book is that there's a lot of pages in here that feel like they'd just be sick posters.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
definitely.
I would
there's like six.
Print them out. Yeah, like I would... Easily six. There's six in each part, Daniel.
Yeah.
But I would probably give it...
Oh, you know what they didn't do? So we read it in the trade format, but it was released in like
single issues.
And the issue, the covers that they had, it was just like part two. But each one had
a cover.
Covers.
Yeah.
So they could just do that just, in there.
Yeah, tack that on.
Or just put them in the book, you know?
Yeah.
And they're really sick. They weren't even like just panels from the book.
Stupid.
I
would rate this, since it's October.
No, what? Just rate it what you rate it.
A pumpkin, but like that you use for like a jack-o'-lantern.
Uh-huh.
But not like a super big one, you know?
Okay.
Not like the Mac Daddy pumpkin that you're like, this is going on the front of the house. It's like one that you put like on a half wall.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I would put it as.
Like you pick it up with like...
But it's a good jack-o'-lantern.
Good jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah. Like, it's not like a shitty one. Like
not just a smiley face or whatever.
Yeah, you didn't fuck up on this one. Like, very meticulously crafted, and you're like, people will be like, that's a good fucking pumpkin, but I just wish it was bigger.
Okay, okay.
That's what I would rate this book.
You know what? I rated a venti pumpkin spice cold brew.
There we go.
Because those are fucking bomb.
Have you had those pumpkin cream cold brews?
That's what I just said.
You said pumpkin spice cold brew.
Is that the same thing?
No.
Pumpkin cream cold brew. It's those got are the foam, very good, the yeah. foam at the top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
got the cinnamon.
Oh.
So good.
Unreal.
Crack. I get Starbucks like a lot, and I would get that more often, but since I get it a lot, I don't like get it every time, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it is super good.
I look at the nutritional information when I order from the app.
Yeah,
it kind of mistake. So I always just revert back to just cold brew with milk because it's like 60 calories.
The vanilla sweet cream cold brew in a venti is 200, which seems pretty good for like
yeah.
a tall coffee with like milk and
yeah, it's true. Flavoring. That's true.
I like it a lot. That's like my go-to.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's get into the pull list, Colin.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box?
Okay, I did not make it to the store today.
Ooh, that sucks.
So what's there? What am I going to go pick up tomorrow?
Nathan, you're going to get Batman 128.
Holy shit. They're really going on those.
Nathan, you're going to get Gotham City Year One, number one.
Wait. It's from Tom Taylor.
No, close.
Who's it by?
Tom King.
Oh, is that the Phil Hester one?
Yeah.
No fucking... That's out already?
Yeah.
How's Danger Street coming out after that? I feel like we just learned about Gotham City Year One.
I don't know.
But Danger Street comes out in like November now, I guess, so.
And we got The Man Who Stopped Laughing, number one.
All the Batman books.
All the Batman books.
What's that one? That one's by Rosenberg, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds so good.
We got Ant-Man, number four.
Oh, fuck.
We got Hulk, number nine.
I don't even know where I am with Hulk.
I'm like on... or something. Ryan Otley's like gonna be off of it after this arc. I think like 10 or something is gonna be like his last issue,
so I'm hopping right off.
Exactly.
Do we know who it's gonna be instead?
I don't.
Okay.
And the highly anticipated Miracle Man number zero, and I found out that's like so I thought it was by like Ty Templeton, right? Because that's what it says online and stuff, like written and drawn by. But I guess it's like just a bunch of little, like, I don't know, 8 pages or something with like different teams on it.
So it's an anthology?
I guess. Or just like little stories from about Miracle Man.
Gotcha.
And like Jason Aaron's got like a story in there. And that's the only person I saw post about it today. But
that's interesting.
Yeah, it's not just all the people. And I got the Scotty Young cover, naturally.
Yeah, of course.
So
a Miracle Man Scotty Young.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, who was it, Alan Moore that made it initially?
Yeah, he sees it.
Like, what the fuck is this?
Like, he would like spit on it or something.
He would.
Yeah.
Like, why is Miracle Man a baby? A cute baby.
What is this? But did you read anything other than our book?
No.
Me neither. Did you watch anything?
I did not. Like, nothing.
What do you do?
I didn't really do anything.
For a whole week.
I read this book.
Are you playing video games? Something?
I did actually play Overwatch 2 yesterday because that came out.
There's a second one?
Yeah, there's this. Well, that's the thing. They made Overwatch 2. They made it free. They have all the same characters from Overwatch 1. They play exactly the same, all the same maps, except for 2 additional ones and 3 additional characters. So it was basically just an Overwatch 1 update. But here's the kicker. They launched Overwatch 2. They discontinued the servers for Overwatch 1 2 days ago. And the Overwatch 2 launch got DDoSed twice. So no one could get into the game unless you tried like a bunch of times. So at one point, I was in the queue to get into a lobby that had 60,000 people in front of me in line.
Jesus Christ.
And I eventually got in and I played it and I did have fun actually, but it's just Overwatch 1. I did not have a new experience playing the sequel to Overwatch.
That seems like a video game like suicide to take down the servers from the first one.
That game won Game of the Year and like you can't play it anymore.
Yeah.
But I guess like you make the argument. I feel like
you can still play like old Call of Duty games. You can. You know?
Yeah. There's like Modern Warfare 2 servers.
Yeah.
Like, so it's insane. So yeah, I did play that. That was a new thing that I experienced. Oh, I also played a game called One Armed Cook.
Okay.
It's a free game.
Sounds...
It's a, definitely an indie team, indie game. But do you ever play you know what Overcooked is?
Is that the one where it's like the assembly line and then you have to like do shit to all the food that
comes
down?
Yeah, it's like a top-down with like these cute little characters that run around and you're trying to like serve people food.
Yeah.
It's that, except it's first person. You only have one arm. And basically the only action you have is you can pick up thing, put on grill, and put it on a plate. But you have to be really aware of like where your arm is because it's just out all the time. So if you put something on a plate and you immediately turn left, you're just throwing everything on the ground. And you could have up to like four people play it. And it's really funny to just see like someone walking around like this. Like there's someone taking orders. Someone should be on the grill. Someone should be like assembling like the plates.
Uh-huh.
We found out like pretty late into the game that if you're making like a cheeseburger... It doesn't need to look like a cheeseburger. You just need all the components like on the plate. So
just two buns, cheese and shit.
But they distinguish top bun and bottom bun, which we didn't realize at first. So people would just be eating their burgers, but they would leave the top bun. And we're like, what is happening? And then when we figured it out, when we figured like all the intricacies of the game, we would just put like burger, cheese, bun and like serve that to somebody.
Or like they have the top bun on the bottom, it just like tilts over.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and it's funny because you can run out of food, so you have to like go order food and pick up the food when it comes. If there's food on the ground for too long, a rat comes in and like picks it up, and so like sometimes you just have to like pick up a rat and like throw it out the window or whatever.
I love your gaming experiences that you have. Like you just like play so some funny random ass game with your friends and you just all like
we try and find a catalog of games that would be really fun if you're just super hammered, and this sure is definitely one of them, especially since it's free,
right?
So yeah, those are two things that I did, I guess, this week. But yeah, I watched She-Hulk with Sophia and we didn't get the chance to, and I didn't watch Andor.
You didn't watch She-Hulk or Andor?
No, I didn't.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
All right, you're going to listen to me then.
Okay, yeah. Tell me about it. Tell me about both.
Okay, so I won't like spoil anything about Andor, but just stuff I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So he leaves that planet, right, with what's his name?
Mm-hmm.
And they go into like light speed, right? Whatever we called it. I can't. They jump into hyperspace. Hyperspace. And like,
I don't even know.
He just goes like, like this shit's going like light speed, and he's just like he like barely falls over. I'm like, I feel like if he's not buckled in, he should just be like,
yeah. You know? I feel like that's what it should be. Yeah,
but he's just like, someone just went over a speed bump or some shit, and it just made me really mad for some reason. And so they go to,
but isn't like C-3PO like standing in the back of the Millennium Falcon?
Yeah, his ass should be knocked over.
Yeah, I agree.
But anyway, I can't remember what the context was, but they go to Coruscant. No, they don't go to Coruscant. There's a scene in Coruscant, and it's just really cool to see that planet again.
That's cool.
So it's kind of obvious that they're going to, you know, the other rebels, you know, where they're at. And there's like a lot of actors that I like know from other stuff, and it's really cool to see.
Like what?
So you remember that show, The End of the Fucking World?
Yeah.
You know, like the kid, the mm-hmm. dude in that, he's in it, which nice is cool.
Oh,
like,
good for him.
Good for him. Yeah. He sounds exactly the same. Yeah. You didn't watch The Bear, did you?
No.
Okay. Did you watch The Punisher, and there's that dude who like did the hacking and stuff?
Yeah, like Calculator or something?
Gizmo or something?
Gizmo, oh. Yeah, something like that. Is he the bear? Is he John Bear?
No. He's like friend of the bear.
Oh, okay.
But like hates the bear. But he's really good in that show. So that guy, he's in it too. I'm like, oh, sick. This is a great team. Just of actors. But
he's rooting for him.
That was cool. The She-Hulk one, I wasn't like super stoked on. It just seemed kind of like almost an unnecessary episode, which sucks. Like there are things in it that I enjoyed.
Like more so than like the wedding episode?
Like same scale.
Okay, but...
Like, it fits into the plot, and it makes sense, but, like, I'm like, it really didn't need to be there. You know what I mean?
I feel like that's what they're kind of going for. It's supposed to be, like, a sitcom, I feel like, more so than just, like, what we're used to, where there's, like, a villain and, like, a thing, and, like, it progresses the MCU somehow. So
I get what they purposed it for, but there was, like, a cool, like, fourth wall break where, like, a guy walks in. And she's like, this guy? He's like, you probably don't even remember this guy. Was he on the Previously On? He's like, we're doing a Previously On for this guy. And then it does the fucking cool. Previously On. I'm like that. This is awesome.
Yeah, that's sick.
That was like the best part of the episode. But that's about it. Mm-hmm. And I've been watching, or I watched Dahmer, that Netflix show. Mm-hmm. Pretty fucking crazy. Really, really, really good show.
I've like, seen a couple things on it, how like he's just like walking around in the background sometimes and stuff too.
Yeah. Like it, super well done show. And like, I don't know. We started watching it and I was like, oh, this is the dude that
he's Quicksilver.
Zac Efron like played. But no, that's Ted Bundy.
That's
apparently.
Ted Bundy. Yeah. Different, so when, different hot serial
So when
killer.
He started like making out with dudes, I'm like, I thought he got chicks like in college or something. And so I was very confused. And so I was like, oh, this guy, different guy.
We should have read My Friend Dahmer, the comic book.
That's what we're going to do in November.
Okay, great. Okay, sounds good.
Just to exploit the popularity of the show.
Yeah.
Because, like, Sarah's like, it's kind of shitty that they're, you know, profiting off of, like, this story that's, like, a terrible thing or whatever.
Yeah, I feel like
there's actually a comic in the show, which I guess was, like, a real thing. It was a comic of made by like fans of Jeffrey Dahmer, which is fucked up. And it was made like as soon as he got like arrested, and they're making like a bunch of money off of it and whatnot.
Wow.
So I'm like, there actually is a comic that came out like a couple years ago.
Let's give him money.
Yeah.
Let's go read it.
So yeah, I think we should read that. Just to
My Friend Dahmer or
My Friend Dahmer.
But he's not a fan of Dahmer.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
But this is the best Dahmer comic we could possibly read.
Okay, gotcha.
I imagine.
Yeah, I feel like with this one, maybe like part of the Ted Bundy one especially, people are realizing like it's kind of weird that like we're casting like these popular people to be serial killers.
Attractive and then like, and stuff like that.
Yeah, drawing attention to it. And
I think there's plenty of like TikToks of people like, you know, fangirling over them, and then like someone else stitches it and it's like,
this is fucked.
No.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's a really fucked up thing.
Which is weird.
And he wasn't even that attractive in real life.
Yeah. But this is like always happened, I feel like.
Yeah.
I don't know how I like feel about it, because I think I could definitely see both sides for sure.
Because like it does like all the flashback shit, you know, where it's like him as a kid and his coming up and then like him getting caught.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, he's like kind of likable, I guess, because he's not that weird in some parts. Then he does get really fucking weird.
Yeah,
and you instantly don't like him in the first episode.
Did you watch all of it?
Yeah, I'm done with it.
How long is it?
10 episodes,
an hour each.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And so, but you're also like, you're like rooting for him because you're like, don't do the bad thing, maybe this guy gets away, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not like rooting for him, but you're rooting that he doesn't do the shitty thing that you know he's gonna do.
Yeah.
And it's fucking insane that he got, like, away with all the shit that he did. He didn't live in a house. He lived in an apartment.
Oh, wow.
And he shared a vent with his neighbor. And his neighbor smelled everything that he was cooking. And it was just, like, just absolutely nuts.
It sounds really good. I should check it out.
Yeah, I think you should. I think you'd like it. It's not... There's no jump scares or anything like that. Sure. So Sophia should be fine.
Okay, cool.
Did you guys ever watch, like, Trick or Treat or... Whatever,
no,
horror movie?
Not yet.
Okay.
She was...
you should just come over here for a horror movie night every now and then.
Yeah, I agree.
especially when she's got some morning job.
Because yesterday she was like... When Dana was talking about Trick or Treat, he said this word and I didn't know what it meant. And he was like... She was like trying to remember what it was. And then I figured out that it was anthology. Yeah. And she had no idea what that was. So,
I think is
normal.
Yeah,
I only know it because of comic books.
Same. I feel like people who like are nerds and watch like Visions and like What If and stuff like that, they know what anthologies are.
Yeah.
But that's whenever normally I have to explain it every now and then when mm-hmm. I explain something.
Yeah, that's how I explain it to her, is just like, it's like Star Wars Visions where they have different anime people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
It's all in the same town. It's all like around the, like the same theme mm-hmm. and whatnot, but yeah, I like that movie.
What are you thinking about?
You know, I think Sarah's home with my dinner, so we'll call it a day.
All right, sounds good.
All right,
I hope you enjoyed dinner.
Thanks for watching, listening. If you got any, what are we watching? What are we gonna read next week, Nathan?
What are we gonna read next week?
We're gonna do Infidel.
Infidel.
By Pornsack Pichote.
Yeah. Pichote,
yeah.
And it'll be a good time.
Yeah, it's the same guy that did The Good Asian. Big fan of The Good Asian. So I'm excited to see his other stuff.
Hell yeah. If you have any recommendations, email us at
any good spooky books?
@gmail.com. Spooky books. We always love it. Add to the list. We'll do it next year, probably.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching, listening, like, comment, subscribe, follow.
Stay spooky.
Stay spooky.
Peace.
Goodbye.